Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Diplomatic efforts to secure a sustained Gaza ceasefire continue. Mediation is reported involving the United States, Egypt, Qatar, this whole broader initiative. But where does this process actually stand? Is there a real ceasefire? Has the war ended? Or is this really just somebody pressing pause before they hit the play button again? Joining me is Yigal Marcus. He's the director at Republican Overseas. A very good morning. Thank you for joining us. At a snapshot today, how would you characterize the status of the Gaza ceasefire?
It's a tinderbox. It's a tinderbox. It's mm-hmm. a matter of time. Hamas has not disarmed. They have used the opportunity just to buy themselves time, to recruit people, and to think about and plan for what they're going to do when mm-hmm. the war resumes. And they've made it very clear that they're not going to disarm. So I think it's a matter of time before Israel has to go in and deal with the issue, hopefully one final blow. But it's a matter of time. They're not serious. This is existential to them. Mm. And because it's existential in their minds, they have nothing to lose by not doing what the international community wants them to do.
There are two parts, or there are many more parts than that, but there is Hamas on the ground in Gaza and there is Hamas in Qatar who are still living a life of luxury, speaking at Al Jazeera conferences. Who is the decision maker here?
Actually, I think the decision maker is Qatar, because Qatar is facilitating all of this. Mm. And it's for that reason, by the way, that Israel is going to be declaring Qatar an enemy state of the Jewish state of Israel, because at the end of the day, they're the ones that host them. There's a lot of money that flows. Qatar has effectively been a great defense mechanism for Hamas, giving them legitimacy, giving them the platform of Al Jazeera to continue to spew their hatred and their militarism and their violence. And so without Qatar, Hamas doesn't have much, especially if Iran falls, hopefully, in the coming weeks. Mm. So let's focus on the real source of the problem right now. And the real source actually is Qatar, not as much Hamas. Hamas is around simply because Qatar allows them to be around.
Why is it that Qatar has been allowed to straddle both of these worlds, pretending to be a peacemaker, pretending to be a honest broker here, whereas it's not even a secret that they are Hamas enablers? And just spend 5 minutes on Al Jazeera, and I have noticed in the last week they've upped that to an almost hysterical level. Al Jazeera's gone all in on their Israel and Jewish hatred. But why is everybody pretending? It's the emperor and without the clothes scenario here.
Yeah, I mean, they have their tentacles everywhere. They send, 500. I don't know how much money they've spent on Israel, on American educational institutions, on television, owning Al Jazeera. They host a major American Air Force base, and so we're a little bit stuck. Extricating ourselves from the fangs of Qatar is something that's not easy. And they put on a nice face, and they themselves are a very weak country, and they don't really have a military. What they do have is money, a lot of money. Mm. And that money buys influence. And it's interesting for all the anti-Semites out there who talk about how AIPAC runs Congress and how the Jews run the world. The reality is that Qatar gives more money to lobbying Washington, D.C. than any other nation on the face of the earth by far. AIPAC's $100 million. I think Qatar's $500 million. So they're very smart in what they're doing. With nothing else except money and influence, they're using that money and influence to affect everything and to try to control it from the back. Now, they have the most to lose. They have the most to lose if there's a major paradigm shift in the Middle East with Iran falling.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they're trying to do is they're jostling for influence and being influential in the future. And so that's really what their influence is. And I think they are the primary enemy of Western civilization and of Israel right now.
Given that they need and want this legitimacy, why is it not possible to push them harder? Because surely you look at the other party, the negotiating party, you look at their vulnerabilities, you know, understand what's important to them, and you work on that basis. Surely, if need be, this should have been used, but somehow it just doesn't seem to be, or certainly there doesn't seem to be any improvement here.
Yeah, no, there is no improvement, and the reason why people don't push back more, you know, you do need to have some connection to the other side, to the dark side,
mm-hmm.
right? Otherwise, there's no means of communication. There's no middle spot. The problem is that we're tricking ourselves into believing that Qatar is in the middle. They're not in the middle. They are part of the other side. They just dress nicer and put on a nice face and send the president $400 million planes, super luxurious planes. But they are not that. They are not a friend of the United States or of Western civilization at all. And I do think that part of the problem is they sort of have us by the kahunas. You know, they do host a major U.S. military installation,
mm-hmm.
That is strategically placed so that we can actually execute something that I think will be happening in the next in the not too distant future, which is a war on Iran. And so they do have us by the kahunas, and we sort of have to play with them, even though they themselves are evil. But post some kind of major event with Iran, hopefully bringing down that regime, there'll be a tremendous shift, and money is not going to buy them what they think it's going to buy them. It's going to open up a lot of opportunity for Israel to work and to grow and to innovate with their neighbors, and Qatar will not be part of that. Israel will never trust Qatar.
Mm.
So, the future without Qatar is a real one, and that's making them very nervous, which is why they are even, in the room right now.
Did the declaration or the move to declare the Muslim Brotherhood a terror organization, a terror entity, does that have an impact on Qatar?
Not really. It's a different flavor of that militarism and also an organization that's jostling for attention and for power and for influence. I don't believe it's going to have a significant impact. But, the more the world realizes what we're dealing with, the more they realize that it's Qatar who is trying to bribe Congress and to control the world, the better it'll be for us and for the future of Western civilization. Again, identifying who our real enemies are and not trying to cover our eyes and ignore it.
Maybe it's been a long week of reporting, but Yigal, do you really believe that anybody cares still about the facts?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I
was just wondering because.
Yeah. No. No.
Because.
I
So I'll tell you, and indulge me for a second. One of the things that I'm quite involved with is marketing. And what I always say to people is if you're an iPhone user, I can bring you 10 factual reasons why the Samsung is a better buy for you. And you're still going to buy an iPhone because Apple sells status. They sell other things. If you're a Samsung user, you can tell me 10 reasons why the iPhone is better. For some emotional or other reason, those facts don't matter. I am still buying Samsung. And what I think is happening is that we, the you and the me's of this world, are listing the advantages of Samsung or the advantages of iPhone over and over as fact, which they are. But people don't care because actually they are responding to something else. And that's why I wonder if it even matters when you say that, people talk about AIPAC and how much AIPAC is pouring into U.S. elections, but present them with Qatar's figures, which totally shadow them, but it still makes no difference.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think that, you know, we all like to live in an echo chamber, to listen to people that we agree with, and whatever we agree with is what we believe to be the truth. And people do not want to listen to truth. And but it's interesting because, you know, there's a pasuk that says, "Titein emet liYaakov," give truth to Yaakov, which is Jacob, which is the Jewish people. And so we believe that when you actually live by truth, that truth is not your truth and it's not my truth, it's truth. That we will be able to do the right thing, believe the right thing, and stand for the right thing. And so you're absolutely right that I don't think people, I mean, a great example this week, Tucker Carlson comes to Israel for, you know, all of 15 minutes and then gets detained and interrogated and assaulted by the Israeli authorities. And lo and behold, the video comes out. He's hugging and he's taking pictures with them in a luxury lounge, a total fake. But because he got that out first to his constituents and to his listeners, the video of the contradictory video is irrelevant. People are not going to care about it. What Tucker Carlson says has to be the truth, and that's the world that we're living in. And so I think that what we get out of this is that, and this is, by the way, one of the reasons why Trump has this board of peace. Because if you think about it, we've been too long listening to the United Nations, right, which is a failed organization. They are just poisonous anti-Semites, and they, if you really think about it, have been unable to deal with any major crisis that's come up, and they've yet to condemn Iran for killing 60,000 people and injuring 350,000 people by just opening fire on people who want freedom. They haven't condemned them yet. But if Israel stops cigarettes from being imported into Gaza, oh my God, we got to condemn them and sanction them. This is the world that we're living in. It's upside down. It's v'nahafochu. It's the exact opposite. It's a perfect adar.
I was just going to say,
a perfect
as we head towards
example. Everything's exactly as we're going to put it. Everything is reversed. And frankly, that to me is maybe the most optimistic thing, because this is what the prophets have talked about, and everything's going to be the reverse. Truth is going to be considered false. Falsities are going to be considered truth. At the end of the day, we can just stand for truth, real truth, not our truth, not their truth, but real truth. Live by it, adapt to it, and then hopefully respond to it appropriately. And the rest of the world can live in their echo chambers of falsities and lies, but we won't do that. And that we can only know that what we stand for is something much greater and much deeper than what we listen to and what we choose to believe, not what is the truth.
Yeah, because it really is. It just doesn't. The facts absolutely. Well, the facts are fluid, and right now we've seen it with the Wikipedia story. We see it with Al Jazeera going back to them reporting something as though it's fact, whereas in fact it is. It's all narrative. We see it certainly in South Africa with the filtering of news. So we don't get certain amounts. Things just don't get reported if it doesn't suit a particular narrative. And that, it's all of these together is very, very difficult to counter. And I think that your optimism is a very, very nice way of looking at it. It's almost like the Rabbi Akiva story, where Rabbi Akiva is, they're walking around the ruins of the temple and he sees a fox and starts to laugh, which makes no sense other than the fact that, in fact, it's part of the prophecy. It's part of, which means that this is all it's meant to play out as it is doing.
Exactly right. It's exactly right. That's why I'm optimistic. And it's very strange that this situation with Iran is percolating and bubbling up out of all times during Adar, rare time that Adar falls out exactly during Ramadan. And we'll see what happens. But I'm optimistic that Adar will win out, that Haman, another Persian evil regime, falls, and that it's replaced by a great paradigm shift in our history, in the history of the Jewish people, in the history of the Middle East. And, you know, as they say, Layehudim haita ora v'simcha v'sason, light, happiness.
Absolutely.
It's going to come upon us.
Right, and we've moved from talking politically to basically a sermon, but I think that is great. It's certainly what it's certainly what I needed, and pretty much sure that our listeners as well. Yigal Marcus, thank you as always, Director at Republicans Overseas, wishing
Shabbat
you Shabbat Shalom.